how can we build connection with our neighbors? You know, if Christ came incarnate, right? If Christ came in flesh, how we can be then right where we are. Before we go to the ends of the earth, let's start here, right here in Jerusalem.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Welcome to the show dedicated to helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world. My name is Jared DeNaro, host of the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. And to all the bright lights out there shining bright with the light of Jesus Christ, thanks for listening in. So glad you could join us. Today's conversation is with Tyler Brondick, Executive Director for Hope for Worcester. Tyler and his team, along with many other businesses and organizations in the city, host Worcester's Day of Hope, an event spread across 5 locations throughout the city designed to meet relational, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. The next Day of Hope in Worcester is Saturday, July 29th, 2023, and you can learn more about the event and how to get involved at hopeforworcester.org. This episode is brought to you by Morning Star Christian Bookstore, New England's local full-service Christian bookstore, with locations throughout New England, including our newest Worcester area location at 140 Worcester Providence Turnpike, which is Route 146 in Sutton, Massachusetts. Stay connected to Morningstar on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and the new and improved MorningstarBookstore.com. You'll also find a growing selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts there, as well as addresses for our stores and eventually information about our upcoming events. Now, let's hear about how God is using a local community of churches, businesses, and organizations to bring hope and healing to the people of Worcester in Jesus' name. Here is my conversation with Tyler Brondick. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Tyler Brondick, Executive Director at Hope for Worcester, a 501c3 nonprofit organization with a mission to revitalize communities and renew hope by collaborating with business, health and service organizations, churches, and individuals to meet physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational needs within the city of Worcester and Worcester County. Hope for Worcester hosts an annual Day of Hope each year that connects businesses, ministries, and organizations together to serve people in the city who are in need. You can connect with Tyler and learn more about Hope for Worcester at hopeforworcester.org. Tyler, it is so great to be here with you today.
Likewise, Jared, thanks for having me on the podcast.
I'd love to hear more about Hope for Worcester and what God is doing through this organization. But first, I'm curious to know how you came to faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Sure. So I was raised in Mansfield, Massachusetts, which for listeners here may be familiar with Gillette Stadium, which is home of the Patriots, and then also the lesser known Revolution, which is a soccer team.
That's right.
I grew up playing soccer, and so loved soccer growing up. It was a gateway into the world, into life. In hindsight, looking back, that was really where I placed my identity, placed my trust, and placed a lot of my belief in. I had a good time playing soccer growing up. I wasn't raised in the church, per se. My dad himself, I think, would probably say he's agnostic at this point. My mom has been wrestling with her faith and is following Jesus now, but church was never something I went to. I maybe went a handful of times when I was younger. And so it wasn't until college when I was actually on the soccer team at Stonehill College, and I connected with a young man who was in the same year as me as a freshman, actually from Bow, New Hampshire area. So
near, I know Bow.
Yes, and so right around the Manchester, New Hampshire area, which I know you're from.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He was a very energetic, enthusiastic, outgoing guy, but was just incredibly compassionate and kind and had a good spirit about him. And especially in the soccer world, in the college athletic world, that's different. It's countercultural. Certainly have nice people, but the extent of hospitality, but then also just the level of, I think, the way he lived his life was so admirable. And so for me growing up kind of in a moralistic type household, right? We had morals and kind of ideas of values and virtues to live by. I had kind of a general attunement to what my friend was kind of living, but I had never really been exposed to the gospel, to the good news, to the evangelical gospel that God is present with us now.
Amen.
That was something very foreign. And Josh welcomed me, and he was someone who didn't party at night and was somebody who was, just had, again, treated people differently. And so I would spend time with him. And I don't even know if he knows this now, the impact he had on my life, but he invited me actually to a college ministry called InterVarsity, which was, there was two ministries. There was a Catholic ministry, and then there was the InterVarsity ministry at Stonehill. And so I joined there and then eventually went on a serve up trip, which is a service trip to New Orleans. Little did I know, I thought I was going to serve and kind of, build houses, which I did in response to Katrina, but also I was exposed to Bible study. I was exposed to worship and prayer. I was exposed to all these things. And at first I was actually thrown off. I was like, wow, this is very interesting, but it felt kind of like a cult for me.
Sure.
And I was used to, I had gone to Catholic Mass a few times, much more liturgical, much more different understanding kind of the faith. And so it felt very foreign to me. But over time, I really started to say, wow, I need God. And I'd say, later in my college career, I started to get plugged in more to Athletes Bible Study, which was specifically for athletes who were relating and connecting on a life that I was going through day in, day out. And so I was able to connect at a deeper level with people who are on the basketball team, on the football team, and talk about things we were wrestling with because we just lived such a different lifestyle than many other college students. And then, long story short, I eventually got plugged into a church down in Washington, D.C. and was baptized and came to a greater understanding of just the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. And have been growing with the Lord since then. And so, that's kind of the long story made medium.
Yeah. Tyler, that's an awesome testimony. Praise God for the work that he did in your life to bring you to himself and now to help you grow into the spiritual leader that you are. Can you talk about some of the ways that God prepared you through that spiritual journey to do what you're doing now?
Yeah. I briefly mentioned my time in New Orleans, and so for this service trip, and that was, I actually think I came to the gospel almost through the social gospel, and so a sense of the more kind of works or good deeds you did would earn you greater merit, and we know that that's not how we are saved, that's not how we are accepted or even identified within the kingdom. But it was interesting because that was attractive for me. But I knew that some sense that loving on others, caring for others, being a person of great compassion and kindness to the least of these, to our neighbors, was important. And so it was from that initial experience that I think I've always had this kind of pull within my heart. But then over time, I think as I studied God's word, as I went to school, as I surrounded myself with others who were more mature in the faith, I came to a better understanding of, I think, where it all fit in, where taking care of the least of these, taking care of just the needs that we all have. And I think it expands beyond the poor and the needy, though that is incredibly important, but that we all have needs. And just thinking now of the importance of mental health and how we're so isolated and lonely, and how, I just had a conversation. I've had conversations in the past with some people who I've only known for a short period of time, and they say, Tyler, you're one of the closest people I know. And that was sad for me because I've only known them for, just a few months maybe. The reality is that we lack deep relationships and that the gospel way, I mean, is incredibly relational. And Christ himself, right, is three in one, God three in one. So it's deeply in relationship. And so I think all that to say, through the relationships of the people in college that were ministering to me, showing me a window into the kingdom, and then experiencing that for myself was incredibly important. And then later, then going to school and studying and preparing for nonprofit type work, ministry, getting that ministry lens and doing all this work. And then also just my previous experience in business. I studied business in college, international business, and kind of have that administrative aspect to me too, which has been incredibly helpful to organize and administrate a ministry, which, and just the organization that we're running, which is an important part too.
Yeah, of course. It's fascinating to just hear about your life experience. And clearly, each one of those aspects of your life experience could be applied to something like what you're doing right now. Everything from the relational ministry to the practical service application to your business sense that you got from your college experience. That brings you here to Hope for Worcester, here in basically the heart of Massachusetts. Can you talk a little bit why Hope for Worcester exists?
Yes. In the introduction, you mentioned it. We're here to renew hope and revitalize communities. And so I love it because organizations have these mission statements, right? Any churches have these taglines, and it's always so opaque. It's so like big and vague, and you're like, this is great, but like, what do you actually do?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're right. We're in the heart of Worcester, and really we are involved in community development. We're plugged into different areas, and we meet the physical, the emotional, the social, relational, spiritual needs, right? We look at the gospel as something that is transforming, that is renewing all things, reconciling things back to God himself. We think of, if God is sovereign enough, then he cares about every aspect of life here in the city. And so it starts with individuals, it starts with people, and that radiates to and creates a community, it creates a corporate body of people. And so we think about, what are the needs of different communities? We really contextualize and think through, what's the heartbeat, right? What are the things that have a pulse, and what are the things that are a little bit slower that we need to press into and believe that really it's God is already speaking into these areas, and he's just illuminating them for us to then step in and be ambassadors. And so a couple of those, without getting too deep, right, is mental health, as I mentioned. We focus on addiction recovery. We focus on those who are poor, those who are low income, the homeless. We do a weekly homeless outreach every week where we provide meals, breakfast meals to those in need in this area of Lincoln Street in Worcester. We have this Day of Hope, which you mentioned, on July 29th, which is a huge historic day we've done for the last 7 years, where we serve over 1,200 people across now 5 site locations in all different neighborhoods. And so each neighborhood, as you know, is different than one another, different people, different things that excite them, different things that break their heart. And so we try and have, a pulse of what's going on in these areas, step in. And we provide, right, on this one day in particular, free clothing, free haircuts, community service partners who come and gather and provide connection. Food, free food, and prayer tents, gospel conversations are being had. And so we know that God is at the center of this, and is only through Christ that all these things are possible.
Wow, that's great to hear. Mm-hmm. And you're right, big city, ethnically diverse, a big area to cover. So to have 5 different places for this Day of Hope that you're talking about, mm-hmm. that's one way to cover all that ground. And it sounds like it's a little more nuanced, a little more complicated than just putting on an event. This is something that sounds like it's got some intentionality behind it, some strategy, but also a heart's desire to see people come to faith in Christ, to recognize who Jesus is and to know him personally, not just to meet a need in the temporal sense, but in the eternal sense.
Yeah, that's right. And I think especially in New England, we are in a place where it takes a long time to get to know people. And so you talked about relationship. Relationships take a long time for many people. Some actually can take quite quick to build trust. But for a lot of people in New England, there's this weird sense of tie to kind of tradition and maybe not as quick to jump onto a new relationship. And so it takes time. And we think that if we can be a trustworthy person to provide some basic needs for them, we will be able to first see the heart of Jesus of providing needs, providing healing, right? Physical or spiritual healing. And then out of this relationship, just like anything, we get to learn about the totality of where this is coming from, right? Mm-hmm. So we think about even, you know, in 1 Peter is be ready to share for the reason of the hope that you have, right? And so this comes naturally. I think when we're thinking about serving, as we reflect on Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And so that's truly our heart, is to be people of service. And we have incredible testimonies, right, throughout the years of people coming to saving faith in Christ, receiving healing,
yes,
in different capacities. And some really amazing things coming from addiction, now being sober from that.
Mm-hmm.
Others, we had some amazing healing moments of a man last year who was at our Lincoln Street site, who came and was experiencing some addiction challenges and some deep mental health challenges, was in a crisis moment, having suicidal thoughts. And because of the heart and the care and the compassion of the team here, got to connect, build relationship, deeply care about this person, counsel him, and by the end, didn't experience those thoughts.
Wow.
Yeah, we believe that is the heart of what Christ came to do, is to mend the brokenhearted. There's another site location we had, a guy came who actually is not part of a church, but came to serve and to serve alongside different people. We invited him as a barber, and he would cut hair, similar to kind of how I came. I wasn't a believer, but I came to serve with a heart to serve. And then actually through that, I ended up coming to faith. But anyways, so this gentleman came to serve, cut hair, and was so impacted because there's a young boy who had never experienced a true haircut in his life. And he was able to give that haircut to that guy and just experience that emotional security, that strength. And now this man, actually the barber, now is attending church as well.
Wow.
And so it's just through these moments of creating this atmosphere, knowing that when God's presence is there, something special, something miraculous, something supernatural happens.
Amen. Yes, mm-hmm. That's it. You've probably learned a lot about the city as you've planned these events and as you've done your research, talked to people, looked around, maybe even watched the news or considered what people are saying online about the city. Can you talk about some of the greatest challenges that you have found in Worcester and how Hope for Worcester has gone about addressing those challenges with God's guidance?
Yeah, and so I think, right, we were talking a little bit before this podcast, like each neighborhood, each city has a history, has a background, has different people groups, desires, passions that make it unique, distinctives, right? I've learned those. And so I think for Worcester in particular, it has really an industrial background, really has kind of this blue collar mentality. Historically, I think with that, it used to be actually a lot of rough neighborhoods in Worcester. Mm. And when you ask, I just came in 2 years ago. So when I came in, this was a new city for me. Even though I was only an hour away, it felt like I knew nothing about the city. And so coming here, they said, yeah, Tyler, this was, you know, there was a particular neighborhood here called Great Brook Valley, which is just around the corner. It's a housing development. It's the largest one in Worcester, and it currently still is. And they said even 10, 20 years ago, the police wouldn't go in there because of how dangerous it was.
Wow. Right?
And so now to know that, wow, it's like this is an easy place to go in. It certainly has a lot of challenges still, but to see some things change and revitalize was really interesting to see. And so there's been a lot of investment into Worcester from an infrastructure development standpoint. A lot more jobs are coming here. The industrial shift is kind of sidestepped a little bit. And now we have people who actually commute from Boston that now live in Worcester just because of the housing, how crazy housing is. So the city's changing. There's also, it's home to numerous colleges and universities. So you have Holy Cross, Worcester State, Assumption, WPI, Clark, Quinsigamond Community College, Anna Maria, And then there was Becker, but Becker closed. And so a ton of young people, but then a lot of young people leave after to go to Boston or elsewhere.
Sure.
But again, things are changing now. There's a brand new baseball stadium called Polar Park. And so that was the most attended minor league baseball stadium in the country last
Whoa.
Year. So that's like a fun fact about Worcester, you know, which is what I thought was really, really interesting. And so, yeah, we've gotten to know a little bit more about Worcester at the heart. I think some of the biggest challenges, right, we always, when we're going in to think about contextual ministry, right, you kind of have to think, and I love Tim Keller has this book called Center Church,
mm-hmm.
and really talks about identifying these doctrines or these held beliefs that are held in the community and then understanding kind of what the gospel says about those. And oftentimes the gospel will affirm some aspect of these, but then there'll be some aspects that are actually, it falls short on, right? And so what is obviously the third way? What is Christ's way in the midst of it? And so I think for Worcester, a lot of people hold their identity in their work. A lot of people value how hard they work and don't have a good conception of just actually of Sabbath or of letting things go, letting go of control. There's a deep sense of having to have control here. The other side of it is I think there's a lot of people who are struggling and have a lot of addiction recovery challenges. And so we're seeing that now across the country, but certainly with a lot of blue collar folks here, you see a lot of people who are struggling in that. And so we kind of step in and try and understand what their identity is, right? Trying to understand what the gospel says about their identity being made in the image of God. And, you know, a whole slew of other things. Now with, again, a lot of young people, a lot of mental health challenges. Just, I believe, what's recording 2023, I believe 2021, 2022 at WPI experienced one of the largest strings of suicides
in the country.
It was crazy. And so we know that that's something that's incredibly important and these are crisis moments where we know that the gospel needs to be involved. And so we try and engage that and think through theologically, biblically, and even more so just connecting, wow, this hurts. How can we be people that help, right?
Yeah, wow, those are some incredible challenges. But it's true that the Bible does speak to each one of the challenges that we face in life. And I love that you mentioned Center Church and Tim Keller and the people who have taken the time to say, how do we consider where the community is in their understanding of life and the world around them and who God is? Mm-hmm. And how do we address that carefully, speaking the truth in love, so that people are confronted with the solution, which is faith and trust in God and His perfect plan for our lives. That's incredible. And Day of Hope, this a big event that you are hosting annually, right? Once a year?
Yes.
That's a big part of this. It's probably a great connecting point, a great starting point perhaps for both the people in the city to understand who you are and what you're doing and to know Jesus. And then the people who are getting involved and who are saying, there's an opportunity to help, but I need a place to start. I need people to be with who want to do this also. It just sounds like a big project. Can you give us a window into what putting on Day of Hope looks like? What does it take to do a five-pronged approach to reaching the city with the hope of the gospel?
Yeah, so some brief history into Day of Hope. It actually started as a Convoy of Hope outreach. And so Convoy of Hope is a large faith-based humanitarian organization based in Missouri. They do outreaches, humanitarian aid and response across the globe, right? Certainly with a huge presence here in the United States. We were in conversation and dialogue, and we said, okay, can we have a partnership here in the Worcester area? There's a lot of people in need, a lot of people who I think will benefit from this. And it's a convoy, so they send cargo loads of similar type of stuff that we do, right? Of clothing, of food, of essentials, and provide it at one location though. And so at this one, it was at Crystal Park, which is an area in the city. And we had, you know, hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 people come to this one location, right? Over time though, actually during COVID, first Convoy of Hope is really, I think, based on this Midwestern idea of, and actually even maybe in the 80s, 90s, of come and see what we have, come to where we are, and then we'll show you what you need, right? though that was perhaps useful throughout different periods of history, right? I think we're in a new wineskin and are pressing into gospel access, reaching communities, knowing, as what we've been saying, that each community is different and requires a different, there's different small touches and nuances that help kind of understand the complexity, but also the simplicity of what we're doing. And so we started our own nonprofit because we're like, I think what we're trying to do is we wanted to continue. Unfortunately, the way that we were going to go about doing it just didn't fit anymore kind of with what Convoy of Hope was doing. But it was fantastic because it was a spark, it was an activator to actually launch this. And so we're incredibly grateful for that. And that is kind of our prayer too, is that, just to briefly preface, this Day of Hope is a spark, is a catalyst, is an activation moment for people to then go out, and it's actually led to people then starting up little small ministries of saying, wow, actually, I never knew that this was such a need, and now I got to serve and be involved in handing out whatever. I want to create a ministry like this. Right? Yeah. Or even at the small level of just, you know what? I want to be more involved in taking that next step, right? It might not be starting an organization, but maybe just taking that next step of how I can serve people in my business, right?
Yeah, incredible.
And so I think that's what our hope is that, look, like these great big, these one day events are great, but we really have been intentional in thinking about how do we create follow-up conversations? How do we make this into a relationship? Not simply a transaction, right? Not simply like something that we give and then expect the results immediately. Though there are moments when there's cool things that happen, those testimonials I shared, a lot of the cool things that have happened over time. So back to your question, forward to come back in that it started by connections with people in prayer, in dialogue with other partners in the city. So it started with a lot of churches. We're partnered now with several dozen churches in the Worcester County area. And they had a similar heart. We're looking at John 17, and it's the high priestly prayer that they may be one as the Father and I are one. So this is a call for unity in the church body. And so we take that seriously, as we think Jesus takes it seriously. And so we come together in church unity and align in areas that we're able to align in, so we can all serve together, right? We can discuss the other things later, but we can meet around here, serve for the public witness of what God is doing in this city, and be light. And because there's a lot of darkness, and we know there's darkness, but there's also great light, and we want to attest to that. Yeah, it started from small conversations, and now we have a network of people that we're working with from churches in particular. So each site is located at a church, a different church in the city. And then we partner with different community organizations. So we say, okay, Lincoln Street neighborhood, what are some community organizations that are faith-based and some that are not faith-based, as I was sharing earlier, that have an investment in this community? So how can we build connection with our neighbors? How can we think, you know, if Christ came incarnate, right? If Christ came in flesh, how we can be then right where we are, right in that, before we go to the ends of the earth, let's start here, right here in Jerusalem, right? And so we go, we find partners nearby. So like Lincoln Street is the example I used. We'll connect with Quinsigamond Community College. We'll have them come out. We'll connect with, there's sober houses right around here, faith-based sober houses that we invite. We invite other partners to say, hey, you want to have a booth? We'd love for you to set up a booth here. They go through an application process. We get them involved. And then same thing with haircuts. We have a lot of people who are barbers. We invite them to be barbers here. And we have a prayer tent. So we have a lot of ministers and people in ministry who have, you know, more experienced, more mature believers who we have in the prayer tent, because we know how important that is. And so we focus that. And then we have, you know, donors and businesses who provide some of the other food, clothing, essentials. And so that all goes into it too. And so those are just a couple of things that go into the day itself. But there's, I mean, I'm looking here at some of my materials. We have, we've invested this year in particular a lot into prayer, because we know that prayer is a heartbeat.
Yeah,
and
amen.
We want God to lead us, right? We have our plans, but we want to give those to God and be attuned to the Spirit to direct us. And so this year we really sense that, well, let's pray. Let's pray for it. Let's invite others to be part of this and give people a voice in saying, well, what is God saying in the city? And where can we come to alignment? And so we have praise and prayer rally the night before, which is super exciting at the Journey Church. We have a prayer walk. We're recording this in mid-July. It's the prayer walk's actually tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
We had our listening prayer retreat just a few days ago.
Listening prayer retreat. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, so listening prayer retreat, really thinking about the value of silence and solitude in the Christian life. And so where I'm, you know, part of a fairly evangelical, charismatic church. And so we love worship. When you say there's a worship and prayer night, we're really excited for that. But we know the value of silence and solitude, of going into the, even willingly into the wilderness, right? So looking at Jesus entering the wilderness, looking back to Elijah and Moses, beginning their ministry and the commissioning. And so we know that God speaks when we're listening. And so we want to posture ourselves in places where we resist busyness, distractions, where we resist these temporal things that grip us and wrestle sometimes, because sometimes silence can be hard. You can wrestle with your own thoughts when you're in silence, but we know that it's fruitful for our connection with the Father. And so we do that. We reflect. What we did was this past Saturday, we looked at 1 Kings 18 and 19 and looked at the still small voice of how God can speak through the fire, the earthquake, the wind. But in 1 Kings 19, he happened to speak through the still small whisper, the small voice. And so we love that. It's just, you know, just was really inspired to think about, wow, how beautiful that is. And when I talk to people, actually funny enough, people who are prayer warriors, I think would be a term. One of them mentioned, Tyler, you know, the most valuable time, the most clear time I heard from the Lord was actually in silence. It wasn't in the loud noise. It wasn't in the worship, though that can be good. It was in this moment. And so that's why we, you know, integrated it into this year. And so a lot of prayer, a lot of worship, a lot of listening, a lot of community listening, all right? Listening to what the needs are, hearing what the pain points are, right? We do surveys. We send out surveys to neighbors, to people. We ask other church leaders, hey, what are people in your congregations experiencing? What are some of the big challenges? And that all is, we invite them to participate and to have ownership and to have a stake. And yeah, you know what? Mental health, addiction, a lot of poverty, like all these things then help us understand, okay, well, here's our focus areas for this year, right?
Well, that does give me a clearer picture of what you have to go through in order to see this event get off the ground. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound like you're doing it by yourself. Clearly, the Lord is with you and He is directing other people to join you, both from inside and outside the church. And that is awesome to see.
I was the first person that came on kind of as a part-time staff. And so it truly has been volunteer-led for a long, long time.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's just people who have a heart for serving and a heart for the city, heart for the county. And so, yeah, we have it's volunteers. So it's mainly volunteer driven. People, you know, there's ebbs and flows of people we have throughout the different seasons. And there's a lot of cool ways to get involved, whether it's just the Day of Hope, and that's fantastic, taking that step. Or as I said, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that we're doing to prepare, to plan, to reach out to community partners, to work with volunteers, right? And there's other things we do as an organization throughout the year outside of the Day of Hope. It's a blessing and just a privilege to serve.
Can you talk a little bit about the biblical foundation for what you are doing here with Hope for Worcester? What does the Bible say about serving the needs of the city and the people in it? And how do you feel that will equip the everyday Christian to serve God where they are in similar ways?
Yeah, so there's a lot of passages, obviously, that we look to, but I think one in particular is in Luke 10. And so this is when this is a commissioning of the 72. And so we really see this as mission outreach. So we actually started up this like a course called the Mission Collective of how to be on mission. And so the foundation of that is Luke 10. And so we look at Jesus, the sending of the 72. And one of the core components is to bring peace and healing. And so we look at ourselves as peacemakers, right? Kind of hearkening back to blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm, yeah.
But being people of peace and then being people of healing. And so these are, and I've shared several examples of how we try and do that as well. And then earlier in Luke, we look at you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to the captives, to those in oppression. And so that's another passage that we see in Jesus' ministry that impacts the work that we do, the importance of it, and how it was central in Christ's ministry.
Yeah, Luke 4, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah, and Luke 4, I believe 18, yeah.
And he's quoting from Isaiah.
That's right.
Isaiah 61.
Yes, yep. Throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, justice and righteousness are often paired together.
Mm-hmm.
We think about that, especially how often it relates to the poor and those in need, and that there is, the poor will always be with you. We recognize that. We're not going to end this, but we know that Jesus was also with them. He was with those who are poor. And oftentimes he was with the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and those people as well, and ministering to them and being with them and actually looking at them when most people don't look at them or care for them. A lot of kind of the Gospels is certainly our root, but as you said, it harkens back to Isaiah and the prophets, a lot of the prophetic literature message on failure to take care of those in need. And oftentimes some pretty serious things can happen when we don't do that. And you mentioned this, we speak truth and love too. And so we take that seriously, right? So we serve those people, but we also try and get to the heart condition. And we don't always do that on one day of hope, but as the church, as people who are following Christ, we get to identify these idols, right? These things that are gripping us. And so even sometimes when we're poor, we can still have such a desire for material possessions that we're like, wow, maybe this isn't so good, right? It's not only if you're poor, but then also those who are rich too can also have an idol kind of material wealth, possessions. And so it comes back to that heart condition and that posture.
And Luke 10 alone would just be a rich study to mm-hmm. have motivation to step out in faith, in ministry, on mission, mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
You must have some stories about what God has done through the Hope for Worcester organization and Day of Hope here in Worcester, probably more than what we could get into today.
Yeah.
But is there one or two stories that stick out in your mind as being fulfillment, confirmation that you were obedient to the call of God for that particular season and that particular hour?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think whenever we do what we do, we want to submit it to God and ensure that we're being obedient and following and that he's leading the way, right? And that we're just coming alongside and being ambassadors, being useful. So I think there's a couple moments. The first one that jumped out, so I think I have to share. We do these meetings on Lincoln Street and we do these community meetings. So this started years ago during COVID. This is one particular area, Lincoln Street, where we have maybe an increased focus, just an area that we think has been underserved in some aspects. And so during COVID, addiction and opioid use went higher. Homelessness rose, a study by the CMHA, which is Central Mass Housing, was looking at, 30 to 40% increase in homelessness.
Oh, wow.
So significant numbers, certainly. And unfortunately, there was a lot of challenges that came in the community. Theft, overdoses. There's a school here that's right next to a methadone clinic, and they see a lot of needles on their property, and just that's been a pain point. So there's been a lot of frustration with just the climate here. And then at one point they were housing a lot of homeless people in a hotel right next to this too. So it just, and then there's a bunch of shopping here too. So it just became this hotbed of a kind of a medley of challenges for many people, right? For businesses, for keeping kind of the doors open and feeling safe, for homeowners to feel safe, for kids to feel safe, but then also for the individuals that we're serving who are just really struggling and really going through a hard time. Candidly, people were very upset. So these neighborhood meetings, people were throwing jabs at certain organizations, at the police, at the city council for not addressing these problems. And just really felt this moment, like really a God moment of like, wow, Tyler, you're supposed to step in here. I don't know how, but just kind of be willing. And going back to that Luke 10 is like, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so it's like, will you be that person to step in? And I said, I don't like community activism type stuff. I'm not like a political that it doesn't feel like my platform. But after some prayer, I was like, okay, let me step in and think about this. So we started these community meetings that were already happening, but we came in, Hope for Worcester, to help facilitate these meetings with the goal of making it more peaceful.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right? To be a peacemaker. And I was like, wow, this is so fitting, because this does not look very peaceful. People would leave feeling threatened personally. And so we came in, and just a few weeks ago, a large organization that had been experiencing a lot of backlash from the community, and you know, for some good reasons, came to me and said, Tyler, you know, and what you guys are doing, like, you've really improved, like, this, I feel safe in this meeting, and I feel like I actually, like, I wanna work towards solutions, and I wanna start building this, you know. And so even just that small moment of like, wow, it's because of that faithfulness that happened. I was like, wow, so God is moving here in some capacity. I don't know how he's kind of working, but I can see some of these dots connecting. So seeing that is huge. And then I think just stepping in, and we've had meetings with the city manager. We've, you know, gotten donations for private suites in the Wusak Stadium. We have, for such a small organization, we are able to publicly witness to all of these different people, and it's unprecedented. And that was what kind of our founder said about Hope for Worcester, about just this kind of the church right now in general. It's like, wow, we've been engaging in the city more than we ever have as a collective kind of church body in the city. And so to be part of that and know that that's important, again, it goes back to the gospel changes government, the gospel changes business, the gospel changes individual lives, of course. The gospel changes education systems. Like, it does all that. And so to be part of that was like confirmation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. What an incredible thing that God is doing mm-hmm. in and through the organization yep. to reach out to the city. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, do you have any books, people, or resources that you would recommend that people look at if they were interested in inner city ministry or just getting involved in serving the needs of those around them? I know you mentioned Center Church already by Tim Keller, but if there's anything else that you had in mind, I'd love to hear about that too.
I'm looking at my library right now, which is behind you. These are some of the books that are kind of on my short list.
Yeah, it's a good list.
And so Center Church is certainly a great one. It's definitely more meaty, it's more in depth, but it's a good read by Tim Keller. There's another book on just kind of doing like community-centered leadership. It's called Lessons from the Least of These. Useful book to kind of think about, and just kind of think about community development in general. I actually think prayer, like, and I was saying this, it's like when you want to really have a deeper understanding of the needs of the city, to the needs of what you're called to do, I mean, prayer is where it starts. And so plenty of books on prayer that I recommend that I think we need to invest in more. So obviously Prayer by Tim Keller is one of them. Praying Through the Bible by Whitney is another one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a prayer by A.W. Tozer would be another one. Yeah, and so prayer, and I think those are some of the big ones that I'd recommend to start for folks who are interested.
That's great. Well, we've talked about so much about Hope for Worcester, about the Day of Hope, how the city is coming together alongside of you and the people in your team to reach the people in need here in this city with the services that they need and the goods that they need, but also with the gospel. Mm. If you could share one thing to engage, equip, and encourage the Morningstar Bright Lights community, which is the everyday Christian, as well as the greater church in New England, in our nation, and in our world, to shine brighter as lights for Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say, going back to Luke 10, is to be a peacemaker and a healer where you are.
Mm.
And so stay where you are. Oftentimes we think of mission as going overseas or going somewhere far, and that certainly could be an opportunity, but I would just say start local. We are all called to be on mission. And so to be encouraged, God has given you everything that you need, right? Obviously there's resources and things that can help you and equip you, but through God's Spirit, He's given you confidence. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but really one of confidence sound mind. And so that's a prayer, is that people may step in and be encouraged to be on mission and to, you know, oftentimes some of the challenges why we don't, right, is, well, you know, we're going to get rejected, or I don't really know anyone to, you know, to talk to or to be involved in. I don't have a whole lot. How can I? I'm not a pastor. I don't know. Like, look, start where you are. There's people in your family, in your workplace, who you can talk to, who may have never read a Bible, may know nothing about the good news of Jesus. Especially more and more, we're based in New England. It's the least churched region in the United States. So Manchester, New Hampshire, Worcester, Hartford, Boston, and then over to Albany and New York, regions where now even a lot of the folks who are younger have never opened a Bible because their parents weren't in church. Mm-hmm. And now where are they going to have access to that? You know, it's through you. It's through listeners. And so be encouraged, be empowered, because it's the greatest job, it's the greatest ministry to be a follower and ambassador of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, yeah, sir. Yeah,
100% agree. Tyler Brondick from Hope for Worcester. How can people get connected with you, get involved with you, and support Hope for Worcester and what God's doing in and through you guys?
Yes, so hopeforworcester.org. You can check out kind of our website. We have some videos you can kind of check out and get a feel for what's going on. I'd say, honestly, come out to our Day of Hope on July 29th. That would be a great way to see for yourself, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. July 29th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have 5 locations. You can reach out to us or to me personally at tyler@hopeforworcester.org. That's my email. Send me an email. I'd love to connect to the listeners here to see kind of how they've been impacted by this, what gears are turning in their mind and heart. And then, as I said, we have a food and clothing drive coming up too, which is July 18th. So if they want to drop off food or clothing that goes to people in need, that is an easy way to do that. And then we have that praise and prayer rally on July 28th. So I think the best thing is check our website, but also just send me an email, and I would love to stay connected.
Tyler Brondick from Hope for Worcester, thank you so much for sharing your heart and what God's doing through this organization today. Can't wait to hear about what God will do as you continue to say yes to Him.
Amen. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
Special thanks to Tyler for joining us. If you would like to connect with Tyler and learn more about Hope for Worcester, go to hopeforworcester.org. There you'll find information on the upcoming Day of Hope on July 29th, 2023. Links are available in this episode's show notes. Morningstar Christian Bookstore has an ever-growing selection of books, Bibles, gifts, and more available with direct-to-home shipping on our website. You can browse the selection and shop online at morningstarbookstore.com. Bright lights, together we shine brighter. If this podcast is engaging you, encouraging you, and equipping you to shine brighter in your circles and spheres, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow as we share solutions for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who is shining the light of Christ in their unique gifting and planting, with a heart to bring New England forward in evangelism, ministry, and the abundant Christian life as disciples and disciple makers, we would love to hear about them. Send suggestions for featured guests to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com. Well, that is the end of our time together today. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thank you for listening. Join us again for our next episode, and remember, together we shine brighter.